Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, November 2nd, 2018. Coming up this hour,
a possible breakthrough in the U.S.-China trade dispute.
Stocks around the world rally as fresh hopes for trade talks boost sentiment.
Apple shares slide as earnings disappoint.
And Wall Street awaits the U.S. jobs report for October.
President Donald Trump claims he would sign an executive order next week aimed at restricting U.S. asylum rules. I'm Michael Barr. That story and more straight ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Coming up in sports, the Isles and Rangers win shootouts, the Devils come up short, and Week 9 of the NFL is underway.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are up 16 points this morning. Dow futures up 198. NASDAQ futures up 5. The DAX in Germany is up 1.2%. CAC in Paris up 1.1%. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 3.16%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.87%. COMEX gold is down about 0.1%, down $1 to $12.3750 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1436 and the yen 112.76. Nathan.
Karen, we've got word of a possible breakthrough this morning in the U.S.-China trade dispute. Sources tell Bloomberg President Trump is asking key officials to draft potential terms for a trade deal with China. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Richard McCauley has more.
Donald Trump would like to make this deal at the G20 meeting later this month. This is according to several people that have spoken to Bloomberg. What we don't know right now is whether this signals Trump is easing up on U.S. demands of China. Another unknown is whether the plan is even real. So Michael Every at Rabobank doesn't buy it for a second. He says it seems a perfect way to ramp up stocks before the election, corner Xi in terms of expectations, and guarantee that Trump can blame President Xi when the whole thing falls through. Quite a range of reactions coming out as the sort of hours go by.
And Bloomberg's Richard McCauley says while some analysts do see it as a ploy by the Trump administration, others do view this as a true breakthrough.
Traders appear to be taking it seriously, though, with stocks in Asia posting big gains today. Joining us with details from Hong Kong is Bloomberg's David Inglis. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Yes, massive boost in Asia this Friday. In fact, this over 2% pop in the benchmark actually means that equities in the region just had their best day since the day after the U.S. elections 2 years ago. Volumes and turnover were also quite heavy, which add to signs that a bottom may be, hopefully, behind us. The Nikkei 225 closed 2.5% up. South Korea's KOSPI index better by 3.5%, best day there in 7 years. And China's CSI 300 up 3.5% with virtually every single stock in that index also ending higher. Asian shares just had their best week in 2.5 years. In Hong Kong, I'm David Inglis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
David, thanks. Earnings from the world's most valuable company are also in focus. Apple gave an underwhelming forecast for the holiday season, suggesting weaker demand for new iPhones. And the company also said it's going to stop reporting unit sales for iPhones. We get more on that decision from Bloomberg Opinion columnist Alex Webb.
From an analyst perspective, from an investor perspective, of course, we really want to see these numbers. We want to know how iPhone unit sales are doing. For Apple, they want people to see the growth story, and the growth is in the revenue, and that is the line they want to push. They want to be something other than the iPhone company. They want to be the company which sells services on the App Store and iCloud and iTunes, and that business is growing. Crucially, in the last quarter, the pace of that growth slowed, a cause for concern, but it is trying to change that perception that it is just the company which makes all its money from iPhones.
Apple stock tumbled after word it would stop reporting that key metric. Shares down now about 5% in early trading.
Earnings from Kraft Heinz also disappointed. The company posted profit that missed estimates due in part to sluggish sales and higher costs. That has shares of Kraft Heinz down 5% in the pre-market.
Starbucks, meanwhile, reversed stagnant sales in its most recent quarter. Comparable sales beat estimates in both the Americas and China. Starbucks shares up more than 8% in early trading.
Now, focus turns to today's U.S. employment report due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast a gain of 200,000 jobs in October. Bloomberg International Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee reports.
Call it the "we don't know what will happen, but we'll trade on it anyway" report. The open question is, what impact Hurricane Michael had on hiring, hours, and wages? Analysts don't think it had much of an effect on hiring and expect a big rebound from September's Hurricane Florence weakness. The big question, as always, is what impact low unemployment will have on wages. Last month's hurricane kept a lot of low-wage workers off the rolls, which artificially inflated the hourly average. If they come back, wage gains could be lower. If Michael kept them from work, we could see a second month over 3%. Either way, because of the storm, it isn't likely to affect next week's Fed decision. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thanks. Oil is heading for the biggest weekly loss since February amid speculation U.S. sanctions on Iran won't cut the country's exports as much as expected. A senior White House source tells Bloomberg the White House will allow 8 countries to keep buying Iranian crude after sanctions are reimposed next week. Japan, India, and South Korea said to be included on that list. Checking oil prices now, West Texas Intermediate down 20 cents at $63.49 a barrel.
And we get earnings from big oil today with ExxonMobil and Chevron set to report. Here with a preview of Exxon's results is Bloomberg's Jill Schneider.
ExxonMobil stock has underperformed Chevron by about 14% over the past 3 years. Exxon's results last quarter were disappointing, though the company stayed the course on its long-term reinvestment strategy. Bloomberg Intelligence expects the oil giant to continue with that plan, ramping up spending to ensure production can reach its target to double earnings by 2025. Jill Schneider, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jill, thanks. And UPS will halt pickups from freight customers as early as today because of a potential strike. That strike by about 11,000 union workers could come in less than 2 weeks. The damage to UPS could depend on the length of the disruption.
And futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up about 19 points, Dow futures up 218, NASDAQ futures up 8, the 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 3.16%, yield on the 2-year 2.87%, and the 30-year yield at 3.40%. COMEX gold is down 0.1% or $1.40. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street now. And Michael Barr is here to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump says that people who cross into the country illegally would be detained in massive tent cities. In a speech at the White House, the president insists without evidence that the families walking toward the U.S. are violent invaders who will endanger Americans' safety. The president was asked about how the U.S. military would respond if members of the caravan threw rocks at soldiers.
They're throwing rocks viciously and violently. You saw that 3 days ago. Really hurting the military. We're not going to put up with that. They want to throw rocks at our military. Our military fights back. We're going to consider, and I told them, consider it a rifle. When they throw rocks like they did at the Mexico military and police, I say, consider it a rifle.
Later, the president campaigned in Missouri. Democrats also hit the campaign trail with just days left until next week's midterm elections. Oprah Winfrey stumped for Democratic gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams in Marietta, Georgia.
Anybody here who has an ancestor who didn't have the right to vote, and you are choosing not to vote wherever you are in this state, in this country, you are dishonoring your family.
Vice President Mike Pence also campaigned in Georgia for Abrams' opponent, Republican Brian Kemp. The Florida man accused of sending pipe bombs to prominent Democrats and critics of President Trump is due in court for a bail hearing. Federal prosecutors say that 56-year-old Cesar Sayoc should remain jailed until trial. Mexico has taken a step closer to legalizing marijuana. Bloomberg's Amy Stillman reports from Mexico City.
Mexico's Supreme Court has ruled for the fifth time that stopping marijuana use is unconstitutional, which means that this is now a precedent that can be applied more broadly. Nevertheless, Mexico still has a long way to go before companies can start selling it, as we've seen in Canada and in some U.S. states. The court decision doesn't permit commercial sales, and the government can still regulate how people use it. In Mexico City, Amy Stillman, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts.
in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Great night locally for both the Rangers and Islanders as they skated to extra sessions in Brooklyn and Anaheim. First stop out west.
To win it for the Rangers. Moving in on John Gibson. Zibanejad scores! Rangers win! 2 shootouts in a row. 2 wins in a row for the Rangers.
MSG on the call as the Rangers earned a SoCal split with both games decided by a goal. 3-2, the final in a shootout. Matt Zuccarello scored to help end a 4-game road trip on a winning note. Islanders edged the Penguins 3-2 in a shootout at Barclays Center, taking both ends of a home-and-home with the Pens in the span of 48 hours. Isles coach Barry Trotz.
Tonight, I thought we were the better team, and you don't get the result that you think you deserve. So you just stay with it, and I thought in the second period we stayed with it, and we had a really good second period. And obviously the third we knew they were going to have a push, and they did, and we were able to get it back on track, and we got a huge goal. Elite, and then, obviously overtime was exciting.
Thomas Greiss had 29 saves for New York. Devils skated to a 4-3 setback in Detroit. The Red Wings had a pair of shorthanded goals, and NFL Week 9 kicked off in the Bay with the 49ers hosting the Raiders. All San Francisco in this one, 34-3. Raiders fall to 1-7. 49ers are 2-7. Jets visit the Dolphins on Sunday while the Giants have a bye week. In college football, 12th-ranked Central Florida held off Temple 52-40. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Rob, thank you so much. And a reminder to tune into the Bloomberg Business of Sports show tonight for the latest challenges facing the new general manager of the New York Mets. Plus, we'll take a closer look at the controversy engulfing the University of Maryland football team. Bloomberg Business of Sports tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on Bloomberg Radio. And remember, you can download our Apple podcast, Business of Sports, anytime on iTunes. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And a programming note, tune into our new weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak, where we set you up for the coming week on Wall Street. Listen for that tomorrow at 5 a.m., again at 4 p.m., and Sunday mornings at 9 on Bloomberg Radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check at the latest headlines with Erin Roman at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Karen. A truce in the trade war may emerge. Sources tell Bloomberg President Trump wants to make a deal with Xi Jinping at the G20 summit this month. The president is asking officials to begin drafting terms. Shares of Apple are falling in early trading after a disappointing sales forecast for the holiday season. The company also announced an unexpected decision to stop reporting iPhone unit sales. The U.S. will let China, Japan, India, South Korea, and 4 other nations keep buying oil from Iran after sanctions are reimposed next week. Secretary of State Michael Pompeo will announce the exemptions later today. And U.S. employers may have created 200,000 new jobs in October. Consensus for today's employment report calls for the jobless rate to stay at 3.7%. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Erin, thank you. S&P futures are up 18 points. Dow futures up 213. NASDAQ futures up 8. The DAX in Germany is up 1.25%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 3.16%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.87%. NYMEX crude oil little change at $63.66 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% at $1.10 to $12.37.50 an ounce. The euro $1.1441. The yen 112.82. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, this just in, around 40 firefighters have been called to a blaze near the Saudi embassy in central London. According to the Press Association, images posted to social media show a terraced building adjacent to the embassy in Mayfair engulfed in flames with fire crews attending to it. President Trump ratcheted up his attacks on the migrants. In a speech at the White House, the president says U.S. soldiers on the border with Mexico may fire on migrants who commit violence, and that people who cross into the U.S. illegally would be detained in massive tent cities. In the NHL, the Islanders and Rangers won. The Devils lost along with the Capitals. In the NBA, the Celtics handed the Bucks their first loss of the season. Thursday night football, the 49ers rolled over the Raiders 34-3. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 6:20 now on Wall Street, and we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios on Bloomberg Daybreak. Joined now by Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist for Bloomberg Economics, as we count you down toward 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time and the release of the October jobs report. And I think I'm going to call it now, Carl, and say that our Michael McKee has the line of the morning when he describes this report as the we don't know what will happen, but we'll trade on it anyway report. So I'm going to put you on the spot here. What's going to happen?
Well, we have some inclination what will happen, I think, and the consensus is drifting towards a stronger print. Consensus estimates have moved up. Our forecast has moved higher as well in light of recent data. And a big part of that is looking at the reaction to payrolls in the aftermath of hurricanes. So last month when we spoke, I said, get out your hurricane decoder ring to try to interpret how much of the weak print was actually due to storm-related disruptions. And when we look at things like work absences due to bad weather or shorter work hours, what we call hours curtailment due to bad weather, those were 6 and 7 times larger than what was average in September. So that told us there indeed was a significant storm impact behind that 134,000 payroll gain. Now, what usually happens in the aftermath of storms is we get a big payback, not only as those workers come back online, but also as utility workers and construction workers tend to be pulled in the storm recovery efforts. And so I think we'll see that today pushing the payroll number north of the trend towards something 215,000 is our forecast. I wouldn't be surprised to see something even a little bit higher.
Yeah, I think I do recall you saying last month that despite the slump from the hurricanes, that there was still that underlying trend of 200,000 month over month. What's driving that?
Well, we're seeing a solid growth in the economy in an environment where labor costs continue to remain muted. So if we have faster GDP, all else being equal, we should see stronger payroll gains. And we're on track to see the strongest GDP growth in 2018 of any year in this economic cycle. Now, what could change in 2019 is if we actually do start to see intensifying scarcity in the labor market that's driving up prices. So when workers cost more, then employers will hire fewer of them, and that will boost efficiency and productivity, but that's a conversation for another day. We're not seeing that just yet, and so when you hold the price constant, more GDP translates into more workers.
Now, we did see a bit of a slowdown in GDP growth in the last print. Could that have an effect on what we see from the jobs report today?
It won't just yet, because we're still seeing GDP that is well above the potential growth rate for the economy. So we went from 4.2% in the second quarter down to 3.5 in the third quarter. We'll likely have a 2-handle on growth in the current quarter. So the economy is moderating, but that is still faster than the potential growth rate, which is about 1.8 or 2% in the economy. And so that tells us the pace of hiring will indeed hold up. Nonetheless, that moderation in growth is going to extend into 2019 as well due to two factors. One, the trade war intensifying, and more importantly, number two, number two is the sugar high from the tax cuts fading away next year as well. All of that will lead to a softer profile for job growth in 2019 relative to 2018.
About 30 seconds left. With all that factored in, where do you see the rate path in 2019?
This is a Fed that seems to be fairly confident in the outlook. So I think that assuming we don't have a major disruption in the financial markets, they're going to continue hiking into 2019. And their current plan is to go above the neutral pace before they pause and reassess. I suspect we're starting to see some wobbles in some some agita in the financial markets, and that financial issue will keep them from delivering on their plan.
Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist for Bloomberg Economics. Always good to have you on, especially on Jobs Day. And again, the median forecast, 200,000 added to non-farm payrolls, and the unemployment rate holding steady at 3.7%. Again, we'll find out the hard numbers at 8:30 Wall Street time. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. And for breaking news wherever you are, Bloomberg and Twitter have launched TikTok, first global news network designed for social media, offering live video coverage, hourly updated top news reports verified by Bloomberg at TICTOC on Twitter.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are rising around the world on optimism the U.S. and China will reach a trade deal. Bloomberg senior editor Jody Schneider has the latest.
President Trump wants to reach an agreement on trade with his Chinese counterpart at their discussions at the Group of 20 Nations summit in Argentina later this month, and he has asked key U.S. officials to begin drafting potential terms of such an agreement. It's unclear how much this latest rapprochement is going to last. However, this may be the time that he wants to do it after the midterm elections.
All right, Jody, thank you. Our other big story today is the October jobs report. Economists forecast the economy added about 200,000 jobs in October. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
Bloomberg Economics cautions the impact of Hurricanes Florence and Michael could cloud the underlying strength in today's report. Hurricane-related job losses followed by recovery-related job gains. As for the Fed, it looks like they're on course for another rate hike before the end of the year, one way or the other. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. Shares of Apple down more than 5%. The company gave an underwhelming forecast for the key holiday period, suggesting weaker than expected demand for pricier new iPhones. Apple also says it'll stop reporting sales figures for iPhones.
Shares of Kraft Heinz are down 5% in early trading. The packaged food company posted quarterly profit that missed estimates, dragged down by sluggish sales growth and higher costs.
Shares of Starbucks are up 8% in early trade. The coffee chain reported better than estimated sales in the U.S. and China.
In Europe, shares of the owner of British Airways are up almost 2%. IAG lifted its profit goal for the year.
It's coming up on 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report. The VIX fell under 20 yesterday for the first time in eight sessions to close at 19.34. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 18.61. And that is this morning's Volatility Report, Karen.
And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up about 19 points. Dow futures up 225. And NASDAQ futures up 8. The DAX in Germany's up 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32nds. Yield 3.16%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.87%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.2% or 12 cents to $63.57 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.50 to $12.37.20 an ounce. The euro at $1.1442, the British pound at $1.3032, and the yen this morning is at 112.82. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks so much. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth accountants and advisors have helped closely held and family businesses reach their goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/success. Good morning, Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump says he plans to sign an order next week that could lead to the large-scale detention of migrants crossing the southern border and bar anyone caught crossing illegally from claiming asylum. President Trump also says he has told the U.S. military mobilizing at the southwest border that if troops face rock-throwing migrants, they should react as though the rocks were rifles.
We've already dispatched for the border the United States military, and they will do the job. They're setting up right now, and they're preparing. We hope nothing happens. But if it does, we are totally prepared.
He made his comments at the White House just days before the midterm elections. The president later campaigned in Missouri. Oprah Winfrey hit the campaign trail for Democrat Stacey Abrams, who is running for governor of Georgia. Vice President Mike Pence was in Dalton, Georgia, campaigning for Republican gubernatorial candidate Brian Kemp, who is in a tight race with Abrams. Pence says Republicans need to stay in power in the midterms.
Confidence is back. Jobs are coming back. In a word, America is back, and we're just getting started.
Former Vice President Joe Biden stumped for Democrats in Fargo, North Dakota yesterday. Biden implored his fellow Democrats to stop the erosion of civility that he sees as running rampant in the United States.
The only thing strong enough to tear America apart is America itself. And we've seen it start. We have to make it stop.
When it comes to Twitter, Democrats are outspending the GOP on campaign ads. According to a Bloomberg analysis, 75% of the money spent on Twitter campaign ads since June has been by only three Democrats, Beto O'Rourke, who is running for a U.S. Senate seat in Texas, Senator Kamala Harris of California, and Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York. Edmund Zagorski has become only the second person in Tennessee history to die by the electric chair. The 63-year-old double murderer's last words before being executed were, "Let's rock." Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Rangers ended the four-game road trip on a high note, topping Anaheim 3-2 in a shootout. Matt Zuccarello lit the lamp for New York. Rangers still tied in the cellar, however, with the Devils, who also fell 4-3 in Detroit. Both New York and New Jersey stuck on 11 points in the young season. It's been a different start to the campaign for the Islanders.
Now let's see what Letang does, whether he tries to go high glove himself. Right-hander.
A save will win it for the Islanders. Letang!
MSG Plus on the call. 3-2, they got the win over the Penguins in a shootout, completing a home-and-home sweep in the course of just 3 days. Thomas Greiss with 29 saves for the Isles, who were in second place in the Metro. NFL Week 9 for Bay Area bragging rights. All 49ers 34-3 over the Raiders. Oakland quarterback Derek Carr calling for accountability.
I love this place, and I'm not going anywhere, so you know, I'm in it for the long haul, and I want to be here, and I want to see the men step up and say, I want to do that too. And just listen to some of our vets talk, man, it encouraged me a lot. I'm not going to lie. I didn't say a word when we came in after the game. I just listened, and we got some of those guys.
The Raiders are 1-7 under first-year head coach John Gruden. Jets host Miami while the Giants are on a bye week. College football, top 25 Temple lost in a shootout to 12th-ranked Central Florida, 52-40. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Rob, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
To get rich, first build a road is one of those Chinese proverbs that impresses foreigners, evoking farsightedness and concern for practicalities. As China's discovering with its globe-spanning Belt and Road project, though, the world doesn't always play along. 5 years ago, President Xi Jinping began promoting a network of Chinese-financed roads, pipelines, ports, and other infrastructure across Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and Europe. Back then, the idea sold itself. But the sheer size of the program has lately bred paranoia and resentment. Host countries fear being sucked into debt traps. At home, the initiative has increasingly assumed a political rather than economic rationale. China ought to take stock and adjust its plans. It should refocus on the quality of the projects rather than their scale, and put the Belt and Road on a smarter, more modest course. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:38 is the time now on Wall Street. Let's get the Bloomberg Green Report with Bob Moon.
The Trump administration endorses burning trees and other biomass to produce energy, thus vowing to promote a practice that some scientists have declared more environmentally devastating than coal-fired power. The Environmental Protection Agency joined the Departments of Energy and Agriculture in a letter to congressional leaders committing to encourage the use of biomass as an energy solution. The EPA also reasserted its view that power plants burning trees and other woody materials to generate electricity should be viewed as carbon neutral because when the plants eventually regrow, they remove carbon dioxide from the air. The EPA's own science advisors had warned that assuming biomass emissions are carbon neutral is inconsistent with the underlying science. The agencies are also committing to collaborate on policies promoting biomass, which could include encouraging utilities to substitute wood for coal in power plants. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Bob, thanks very much. 6:39 is the time now on Wall Street. Let's get more on one of our top stories this morning. Shares of Apple are down about 5% after the company gave an underwhelming forecast for the holiday season and said it will stop reporting unit sales for iPhones. Bloomberg Intelligence telecom analyst John Butler says it's a step toward becoming more of a services business.
I think now Apple is a tech company in more of a transition, and so services matter a lot in their transition to that, and the longevity of the iPhone cycle is starting to matter to bridge them to the point where services can pick up all the slack.
Well, some analysts are praising the move from Apple to no longer report iPhone sales. Many say it's an attempt to hide the pain of a stagnant smartphone market. And checking Apple in the early trading, it is down 5.6%. Overall market moving higher. Futures contracts, S&P futures up 20 points. Dow futures ahead by 241. NASDAQ futures up by 12 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Fairleigh Dickinson University Silberman College of Business, offering an executive MBA and a blended Saturday MBA that combines online and on-campus classes. Visit fdugrad.org/radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker 2018 and a top online broker for the eighth consecutive year by Barron's. Visit IBKR.com/YIB to learn more. Futures are jumping this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading higher right now, helped by reports that Trump wants to make a trade deal with China Xi at the G20. Dow futures up 244 points, S&P's gained 21, and NASDAQ futures rise by 13. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.16%. Oil is little changed, and Shanghai climbed 2.7% overnight. European markets are also rising, led by gains in Italy and Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, non-farm payrolls estimate 200,000, and at 10 o'clock, factory orders and durable goods orders. After the bell last night, Apple sales forecast disappointed. Shares are down 5% in the pre-market, and Starbucks EPS beat estimates. Shares are up 8% in the pre-market. Regarding earnings this morning, look for Seagate and ExxonMobil to report around 8 o'clock. Chevron around 8:30. Wrapping things up, Apple was cut to neutral over at Bank of America. Michael Kors upgraded to overweight at Piper, and Parker Hannifin upgraded to outperform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen.
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump says he plans to sign an order next week that could lead to the large-scale detention of migrants crossing the southern border. The president said at the White House he also wants to bar anyone caught crossing illegally from claiming asylum. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis has named the task force to recommend ways to protect critical technologies from theft by China, Russia, or other adversaries. In a memo obtained by Bloomberg, Mattis wrote, each year it is estimated that American industry loses more than $600 billion to theft. In the NHL, the Islanders and Rangers won. The Devils lost along with the Capitals. In the NBA, the Celtics handed the Bucks their first loss of the season. In Thursday night football, the 49ers rolled over the Raiders 34-3. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, everybody in Finland got a chance to see how much money some of their neighbors made. Yesterday's display was part of transparency and public shaming, with tax dodgers even being outed. Nathan People in Finland told the New York Times it would be unthinkable for anyone seeking office to refuse to release their tax returns.
So this wasn't a glitch, huh?
No.
Okay.
No.
You know, there was that old Monty Python song about Finland being the country you'd like to, where you'd like to be. I wonder if they still feel that way, if everybody knows how much they make there.
I feel more like that knight, but I'm not going to get it.
The knight that says knee.
Very good. News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks for waving the nerd flag with me, Michael. Thank, appreciate that. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street, and we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the word, as we've been reporting, that President Trump has asked aides to draft a trade deal with China. Also, the possibility of waivers for eight countries to keep buying Iranian oil after sanctions kick in on Monday. And two campaign rallies for President Trump this evening ahead of the midterms, first in West Virginia, then in Indiana. Let's get more, though, on this possibility of a China trade deal. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is with me now on this Friday morning. And, Kate, just yesterday we were talking about the prospects for a November surprise from President Trump. Is this it?
I think it is. I think that's what we're hearing. And I think that it's important to put this in a bit of context. You know, the president is saying he had a great call with Xi, and that, you know, he's ordered his aides to start looking at drafting a trade deal, essentially saying trade talks are back on. That's certainly significant. But I think what's also significant is politically that's led to, you know, the market's getting very excited. It's led to a rally. And I think that that's something that Trump may have, you know, intended in terms of the timing. And he and Republicans are now able to kind of ride that wave into the midterms. And I don't think that's coincidental.
Yeah. And even if there is a draft trade deal, I mean, the Trump administration has made pretty clear the terms it's looking for from China. And China's made pretty clear that it's willing to dig in.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no reason to believe that any kind of a deal that the U.S. would come up with at this point would be anything other than a non-starter, like the proposals it's put forth in the past. So I think we're a long way from saying that the U.S. and China are actually going to get a trade deal. I think what we're seeing now is, you know, Trump sort of reopening the possibility of that very strategically 4 days ahead of the midterms.
All right, let's dig in a little bit more into the midterms and what the makeup of Congress could be after November 6th. We've talked a lot about the prospects of a red wave versus a blue wave, and some of our reporters here at Bloomberg are looking at the prospect of a pink wave.
Yeah, so there's a number of a record number, actually, of women running for political office this election cycle. And so it's kind of been compared to 1992, which is traditionally called kind of the year of the woman. It's like the year of the woman 2.0. Mm-hmm. And so one of the interesting things, though, is that that's mostly on the Democratic side, not as much on the Republican side. And so I think that that will be an interesting dynamic to watch heading into Tuesday and Wednesday when we get the results, is to see kind of what the makeup of Congress is going to be. There's been a lot said in recent years about the increase in women lawmakers, but women still are very underrepresented in both the House and the Senate. So it'll be interesting to see whether that changes after Tuesday.
Yeah, and it's also been interesting to watch that some of these women running are women that are, you know, trying to hold on to their seats and facing challenges from other women.
Yeah, that's a very interesting dynamic. There's been races where, you know, it looks like both where there's an incumbent challenger and then also when it's an open seat where we're seeing two women run against each other, which I think has been read by some that, you know, that pretty much guarantees that there will be at least, you know, some modest increases in the number of women. And we're also seeing some interesting, races and governor's races where, for instance, in Georgia, that's a very closely watched race where Stacey Abrams is poised to potentially, if she wins, I mean, it's a Republican leaning state, but if she wins, would be the first Black woman elected governor in any state in the U.S.
And can't let you go without talking about the immigration ramp up, at least in terms of the rhetoric from that speech we saw yesterday from President Trump, but not much in terms of actual policy put forward yet.
No, though I think his what the president talked about earlier this week when it comes to birthright citizenship, I think if China trade is our November surprise, that was potentially our late October surprise. And so I think that this, again, much like China trade, is really being timed towards the midterms in terms of the rhetoric the president's using. He talked yesterday about how he would support the idea of, you know, the border, the troops he's sending to the Mexican border firing on any violent migrants who come to the border. There's no indication necessarily that that would be the case, but he's certainly trying to rev up the base.
All right. Bloomberg Washington reporter, I should say, Kathleen Hunter. Read more of these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. 6:54 on Wall Street, and with just 4 days to go until the midterm election, we're looking at some key races to watch heading into Tuesday. Today, we focus on a close contest shaping up in California. Here with more is our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli.
This is really going to be a potential bellwether, the race we're going to talk about today, for Democrats and the size of a potential blue wave. California, here we come. Let's go to the OC, where Congresswoman Mimi Walters, the Republican representing California's 46th congressional district, is locked in a tough, razor-thin fight against an ally to Senator Elizabeth Warren. She's a law professor, Katie Porter. She actually co-wrote a book with Senator Elizabeth Warren. Now, why is this so tight? Well, this district actually voted for Hillary Clinton in the 2016 presidential cycle. It was the first time this district went for a Democrat since 1936, changing demographics. Now, Katie Porter is raising the issue of health care, and Mimi Walters is raising the issue of immigration. But these shifting demographics, as well as a nationalized race in a district filled with fiscal conservatives who are quite skeptical of President Trump's brash rhetoric, to put it mildly, this has really become a bellwether of sorts. And if Katie Porter takes this seat back on Tuesday night, you can bet that it's going to be a big night overall for Democrats in the House.
And Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli will continue to check in with Kevin for some of the races he's watching in the march up to Tuesday's midterm election. On Monday, we look at a close battle shaping up in Maine. It is currently 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Everyone knows that Republicans have changed their approach on immigration. President George W. Bush was pro-immigration. President Donald Trump wants less immigration and even questions birthright citizenship for the children of illegal immigrants. Democrats have made their own, quieter shift on the issue. A decade ago, Democratic politicians such as Hillary Clinton tried to walk a moderate line on the issue. She opposed driver's licenses for illegal immigrants and favored sanctions against employers who hire them. But by the time of her 2016 run, she'd become much less balanced in her advocacy. She was for the driver's licenses and apologized for using the term illegal immigrants. Democrats have probably moved too far on immigration issues for their own good and contributed to the polarization of the political debate. They've created an opening in which President Trump, too, can push for immigration policies that are out of step with public opinion. Polling suggests that the public wants policies that are hard-headed without being hard-hearted. At the moment, neither party is interested in offering them. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Again, futures are higher today. S&P futures up 20 points. Dow futures up 247. Straight ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.